talked a little bit about safety and accessibility stuff already a tiny bit. I think I'm going to tackle the loser part. The loser part. So when I started the podcast and I started writing it, because every single podcast episode is actually very thoughtfully written out, I had major writer's block. And in the beginning, I felt like everything I was writing while, I guess, avoiding my own inner peaches, if you will, it felt really contrived. And it felt like I was just pumping out garbage, just things that people were already saying, things that were, being hashtagged on social media, things that I knew were already socially safe to talk about. And I wasn't proud of anything that I was writing about. And I sat with myself for a bit and was like, well, how do you actually feel? And what do you want to accomplish? And when I got really honest with myself, I was like, well, I feel like a loser. And I want to finally let people know what I was going through so that they can know that I wasn't actually just like a solitary loser for those 7 years. And it's, it's not a sexy or empowering way to feel, but it was really real. And it was really interesting when I started leaning into it, and when people would listen to the first episode of the podcast, you wouldn't believe how many people reached out to me just to tell me that I wasn't a loser and that I was strong and that I was brave and fierce and incredible. And they really made a point of making sure that I knew I wasn't a loser. And it was really sweet and really wonderful. But I don't think people get that I'm not ashamed of the fact that I felt like a loser anymore. None of that scares me anymore. Before, it scared me. I didn't want people to know that I felt that small, but I did. And I think it was really important for me to share that part, because it also would have been my bypassing a very important step in my healing process. If I just jumped straight to I'm an empowered person without actually facing that part of me that felt like a small loser, and I was avoiding it, then those feelings of being a loser would have, they would have come to find me later for sure. And everything I have been building, like, wouldn't be built on a strong foundation. I think it feels very empowering to be able to say that I felt like a loser. But I think it's hard for people to hear that because I think it triggers these, like, am I a bad person for letting this person who is going through so much feel like a loser? So I think it kind of is kind of like a, I don't have words for it, but it all sort of stems together around this fear of being bad and hearing the ugly parts. 'Cause it reminds us that we're all kind of collectively responsible for helping to eradicate rape culture.
Being with folks who are feeling like a loser, hurting, lonely, sad, depressed, anxious, pick any of the things that, make us feel icky on the inside, and pull away, and want to isolate ourselves. We're not taught how to do that.
No.
We're not taught how to do that for ourselves. And we're certainly not taught how to sit with others while they're in that state and just sort of bear witness to the pain that as human beings we come up against, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And so, yeah, this idea of, you know, how do I do it? And if I do it, you know, I don't want to do it wrong, and I don't want to engage with this sort of quote unquote bad feeling. And, you know, like you just want to shove it under the rug and, you know,
Yeah,
sweep
get
it
it away from you
away
as
and
far as, yeah.
dust it off and, you know, put on the happy face and go. Because hard feelings are hard for,
Yeah, they're
you know,
awful.
not only the person who's feeling them, but also the people who love and care about you and want you to feel better
Yeah.
ultimately, right? It's hard to be with your loved people when they feel rough.
Yeah, and you don't want people to feel that way. Not at all. It is hard to watch and bear witness to, but it is just such a real part of the human experience.
Yeah. And what a beautiful and lofty goal that is to, you know, have us strive for being able to hold that space for one another, so that, you know, we can live a more fully human existence of feeling all the feels and not just show socially the happy feels and take home the icky feels and be all isolated and alone with them.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's I'm loving how it's being received so far. So it's yeah, I think it's I don't think I'm the only one who wants to be like, yeah, I felt like a loser. That was it, you know? I think it's I think people are starting to be like, oh, finally, yeah, me too. So it's
Right, and then
I
you can
think
have a
it's
shared laugh together about it.
exactly, yeah, which is ultimately to me so much more healing. Like, oh, didn't that suck? Like, yeah, it did. It totally sucked. Like, there was nothing good about it at all. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good time to take a little song break again. And then we're going to come back and chat a little bit more about your advocacy organization and what's happening with the criminal code stuff. So my guest is Marika Freund, and what song have you got for us?
Firework by Katy Perry. So if you're feeling any of those loser feels, just listen to her voice and I'll be lip syncing along because this is another one of the songs from my pre-show track.
Fantastic. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Intravenous. I hate to bring you back from the dancing, perhaps, that you're having.
All the good vibes that Katy Perry gives. Yeah, totally.
But I have Marika Freund, who is with me on Zoom today, and we've been talking about her project Peaches, which is a multi-dimensional arts-based project. And I want to leap a little bit and talk about My Voice, My Choice, which is an advocacy organization that you co-founded to essentially lobby for changes to the criminal code section 486.4. And that probably doesn't mean anything to anybody, but I'll get you to say what the law is now and what needs to be amended there. And how would you like to see the law replaced?
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess, where do I start? So I, among many other people, had an unwanted publication ban placed on my name after I came forward. And a group of us, actually led by an incredible woman named Morrell Andrews, created My Voice, My Choice, which is an initiative created by Canadian victim complainants for Canadian victim complainants to amend Criminal Code Section 486.4 so that no person is ever forced into silence due to an unwanted publication ban. Now, a publication ban is an order the court makes that prevents anyone from publishing, broadcasting, or transmitting any information that could identify a victim complainant or witness who participates in the criminal justice system. The publication ban is intended to allow victims, complainants, or witnesses to participate in the justice system without suffering the negative consequences of being publicly identified. And this type of publication ban is not meant to protect the identity of the accused or the offender. And in 1988, the Supreme Court of Canada held that the purpose of publication bans in sexual offenses was to encourage the reporting of these crimes by protecting complainants from the trauma of unwanted and widespread publications. And these orders are currently made under Section 486.4 of the Criminal Code. So currently, the law does not oblige the court or prosecutor to inform a victim complainant that a ban has been placed on their identity. So that results in many people being unaware that a ban is in place or of the legal repercussions and the penalties for breaching it. And every person who fails to comply with a Section 486.4 publication ban is guilty of an offense punishable on summary conviction. And so this includes the victim complainant. And so this means that the person who comes forward can face a fine of up to $5,000 and or a term of imprisonment of up to 2 years less a day for telling their own story. So I guess just to put this into context, when I started writing historical fiction, there was still a publication ban on my name that I was unaware of. And every time I did a table reading or submitted the the pilot to a network, I was breaching my publication ban. And every time I emailed that script to anybody or had people reading it around a table, I was setting myself up to be criminally charged and or fined for trying to encourage healing through the telling of my story. The other thing that is really important to note about this is that it is also currently incredibly challenging to lift an unwanted publication ban. And often the victim complainant is abandoned by the prosecutor, often or the crown attorney, who has put it in place once the proceedings are over. And this was actually my experience in the legal system. And so this reality forces the victim complainant to either navigate the legal system alone or to hire a lawyer and incur exorbitant expenses to ask for their right to speak. So just again, for clarity and context, everything that I'm doing with Peaches was a federal crime up until October 5th, 2021. So tomorrow's actually my 2-year anniversary of having my voice back, which is it's a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal.
Thank you. I had to get the help of two different lawyers that I hired and paid for out of pocket to fix a huge mistake that was made by my crown attorney. But I guess in terms of the legal system, with how things are run right now, it wasn't technically a mistake because they were just doing what they were just, you know, status quo. So the work with My Voice, My Choice has been trying to accomplish is to, one, allow victim complainants to attribute their own experience of sexual offenses without being charged. Grant adult victim complainants of sexual offenses a choice in the application of a 486.4 publication ban. Produce comprehensive, accessible, multilingual, and public information about 486.4 publication bans on government websites. You wouldn't believe how hard it was to get information. I jokingly used to call some of these women that I'm working with now, the black market for feminism. Actually, not everybody identifies as a woman. So this team of incredible humans, but yeah, it felt like the black market for feminism to me anyway. We want to simplify the process to lift a ban at any time before, during, or after court proceedings without the services of a lawyer. And finally, to allow victim complainants to opt out of a 486.4 ban on the victim impact statement form. So basically, we just want to make sure that people who come forward and have the right to tell their stories without being
penalized.
So it shouldn't be a crime to tell the story about how you tried to stop more crimes from happening, essentially. It's not funny, but it is like, it's so insane to me that it has to be funny. And so at the moment, some of the team members from My Voice, My Choice are in Ottawa. I really have to give them all the credit. My contribution, because I'm so far away now, physically, is I built the website. My big thing was I wanted to help make the information accessible. And so that was my contribution. But we've got a team of really incredible people who are in the House of Commons currently helping to move Bill S-12 along. And Bill S-12 includes the amendments to Section 486.4 of the Criminal Code. These humans are actually traveling from all across Canada right now. And there's a GoFundMe set up to help their travel expenses, hotels, food, administrative costs. So if you have the means to help support them, please, please, please go to myvoicemychoice.org. You can follow along with the status of the amendment of 46.4, and you can help these incredible humans because they're doing everything out of pocket to help make this happen. They're so brilliant, and they deserve all the support.
And it's something that helps all people in a situation like this be able to have a voice and the autonomy over their own experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Because some people might want it private for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden decide 10 years later that they do want to talk about it. So there needs to be a way for them to lift it. And there needs to be procedure for it.
I will post links also in the audio for
Oh, thank
this
you.
before this show goes up in our program archives so that folks can just follow the link and find information about your project Peaches, but also about My Voice, My Choice. So
Thank you.
yeah.
That means so much.
Make it easy for listeners. Just with the short amount of time that we have left, I want to get your opinion on what you think the collective barriers are that need to be dismantled for us as a society to reach a more utopian vision. And maybe that's lofty of me to think that we can address that in just the very few minutes that we have left, but
Oh, I think, well, I guess when I talk about I do want to address really quickly for the listeners. I'm a cisgender white woman who is currently in a heteronormative relationship. So even though I have been through hell and back, I was dripping with privilege in the Canadian legal system, and I'm answering this question from that point of view. So I know that there's a lot that I'm missing in this, but from my perspective and from my personal lived experience, I think we need to stop expecting to have perfect solutions immediately. And we need to be really happy taking baby steps towards this, more utopian vision. Like as I was saying, over and over again, there's just so much fear around the subject matter. So we really need to be able to celebrate the small wins. I do think that there are a lot of deeply seated cultural beliefs that are also entrenched in unconscious religious and spiritual biases about sex that need to be unlearned. And those also take time to get unhinged. You need a lot of whatever the healing equivalent. Well, I say it's laughter and play for the WD-40 to kind of get that stuff unstuck. These beliefs aren't just they don't just belong to identifying men. Identifying women also can participate in the oppressive, non-inclusive belief systems that stigmatize people around I don't know how else to say it, but that sort of insane idea that virgins are pure, and that's the only way a woman is acceptable. I mean, it's insane. I think it's insane. There might be somebody listening who's like, no, that's completely rational, but but we just need to keep talking. We just need to keep talking. I think sometimes people need to hear themselves say oppressive things out loud. I think they need to hear it come out of their own mouths sometimes too. I think if you have it bottled up inside for so long and you rationalize it internally, and then when it comes out, you're like, oh, wait, that sounds not right. So I think we need to give people the space to have verbal diarrhea, because again, this conversation is so new. Yeah, and I just keep talking, and just keep talking. I mean, as somebody who wasn't allowed to talk about it, just please keep talking. Talking is great. So.
Yeah, important words, I think, there, Marika. Thank you so much for talking to me today about
Thank you
this
so
and
much for having me.
bringing your bringing a little bit of your process with peaches to us, and you're sharing your experience and what your goals are with this whole business. I wish you the best of luck with it all. I agree. We just need to talk about it more. We need to have more openness. We need to have change and safety and accountability and all of the good things, more interdependence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all the time that we have. Of course, stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is coming right up. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Marika.
Thank you.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.